First of all, I would like everyone to say a special thank you to God. We finished the high altar, and the Blessed Sacrament is back where he belongs. I will be having catechism class after Mass today. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, Amen. My good people, my confreres, my fellow religious, in these very troubling and uncertain times, it's very easy to have our spirits dampened and darkened, and to become very discouraged, almost to the point of despair, despondency, because not only do we have in our own personal lives all forms of sufferings and crosses, whether it be dreams and ideals that are crushed, or loved ones that are suffering from incurable diseases, or loved ones that are dying, or loved ones that you have spent your life and your heart on going astray, or your work suddenly causes you problems, you lose your job, you lose your home. On top of all these private sufferings, we also have the state of the world today and all the bloodshed going on now in our country. We sometimes have the temptation, I think, to question God. Does he really know what he's doing? If he really loved us, why is he letting us suffer so? Why is he letting us one by one fall away? Why is he letting us dangle at the end of the rope with our alligator snapping at our heels? We can barely hold on. Why is he pushing us to the edge? I'm going to repeat a little story I've told before. Some of you have heard, some you have not. But it shows a little clearly, a little more clearly, our situation in life and our relationship to God. We are down here on earth, and up above is God Almighty. And in between us is a tapestry, or a piece of cross-stitching, needlework. But the picture side is facing God. All we see is a tangled mess of knots down below. That's bad enough. But our job is, when God pushes the needle through, we're supposed to push it back up so he can push it back down again and make the picture. But we never know where that needle's coming out. And sometimes it jabs us very hard. And we want to shake our fists and say, why did you do that? Why did you cause me this suffering? Besides, all I see down here is a mess. Are you sure you know what you're doing? my good people and my confreres, no matter what happens to any of us, as groups or as individuals, we must always trust God, place all our trust in God. Now that doesn't mean we sit back on our behinds saying all day long, I love you, God, take care of me. No. God helps those who help themselves. No matter what happens to us, we must use our God-given brains, our God-given strength, to do what we can to take care of ourselves and those we are responsible for, and to prepare within limits for at least a short-term future as best we can. But above all, we have no choice, because if we don't, there's only despair on the other side. We must place all our trust in God, that even if, in spite of all that we do, everything seems to go to hell, everything seems to crumble down like the Trade Center buildings, look how quickly those collapsed. In no time at all, these tremendous buildings were nothing but a pile of rubble. Does that mean when we see our lives crumbling before us, in spite of all our efforts, does that mean that God doesn't like us? That we're not doing His will? That He's displeased with us? We need to reflect more often on that scene in Gethsemane when our Lord was arrested. And those whom He trusted, and He had spent 3 years forming, living with, instructing, every one of them fled. When He was hanging on the cross, dying, how many were standing at the foot of the cross? Out of all those who proclaimed their love for Him, and yet, did He despair? Did He say, oh, it was useless? What a waste of my life and my suffering? No, my good people. Suffering, as is often said, is a necessary evil. But I don't like the word evil, because suffering, looked at in the right eyes, is nothing but a stepping stone to the throne of God. It is a bridge between our love and our heart and the love and the heart of Almighty God. As Saint Augustine put it so aptly, the more one loves, the more one suffers. The more one suffers, the more one loves. Because one of the symptoms, if you will, of true love is that the lover completely becomes annihilated, becomes nothing, so that the loved one, the beloved, becomes all, becomes everything. The lover's only interest is the beloved. The lover will suffer anything, and sometimes look for things to suffer, to give up, to show his love for the beloved. It's a complete union to where the beloved is all that counts, and the lover, I don't like to use the word slave, because that denotes forced, something forced. But the lover is a slave of love. He willingly unites himself to the beloved. He places everything in the hands of the beloved, including his trust. And my good people and my confreres, we must never, never lose our trust in God, our knowledge that he does know what he's doing when he sends that needle down and transfixes our hearts and brings us to our knees. We must never lose sight of the fact that God is in control, even when everything else is out of control. We must be patient. We must be patient. And we must give God our hearts completely and let him do with us whatever he wills. That's the kind of trust we must all have. May God bless each one of us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.